I'm the umze today. I'll help lead the prayers. No. All right, it's green now. Okay. All right. Well, I want to start with a joke this morning. Yeah. What did the Buddha say to the hot dog vendor, or the tofu hot dog vendor? It's an old joke. Make me one with everything. And actually, that's what this is about. It's about finding out that you are one with everything. So we'll sit in that oneness and begin the prayers. If you're new here, just kind of follow along. We don't take names or something if you make mistakes of the prayers. So begin on page 3, praise to Shakyamuni Buddha. Teacher, for destroyer, thus gone, fully and perfectly awakened Buddha, endowed with knowledge and good conduct, gone to bliss, knower of the world, helmsman of ordinary beings to be tamed, supreme one, teacher of all gods and men, Buddha, for destroyer, glorious victorious one, Shakyamuni, to you I pay homage, make offerings, and go for refuge. Teacher, foe destroyer, thus gone, fully and perfectly awakened Buddha, endowed with knowledge and good conduct, gone to bliss, knower of the world, helmsman of ordinary beams to be tamed. Supreme one, teacher of all gods and men, Buddha, foe destroyer, glorious victorious one, Shakyamuni, to you I pay homage, make offerings, and go for refuge. Teacher, foe destroyer, thus gone, fully and perfectly awakened, endowed with knowledge and good conduct, gone to bliss, knower of the world, helmsman of ordinary beings to be tamed, supreme one, teacher of all gods and men, Buddha, foe destroyer, glorious victorious one, Shakyamuni, to you I pay homage, make offerings and go for refuge. When you, chief of humans, were born, you took 7 steps on this great earth, and you said, I am supreme in this world. To you who are wise at that time, I prostrate. Completely pure body, supremely fine form, ocean of wisdom like a golden mountain, fame that blazes in the 3 worlds, supreme protector, to you I prostrate. Endowed with the supreme marks, a face like the stainless moon, a color like gold, to you I pay homage. The 3 worlds are not like you, who is free from dust. Matchless one, endowed with knowledge, to you I prostrate. Protector endowed with great compassion, omniscient teacher, field of ocean-like merits and good qualities, to the thus gone I prostrate. Through purity, free from attachment, through virtue, releases from the evil-gone realms, unique, supreme, ultimate meaning, to the Dharma that brings peace, I prostrate. From freedom, teaching the path, well abiding in the few trainings, holy field, endowed with good qualities, to the Sangha also, I prostrate. Homage to the Supreme Buddha, homage to the Dharma refuge, homage to the great Sangha, to all 3 ever devout homage, to all worthy of respect, and bodies as many as all realms, atoms, and all aspects, with supreme faith I pay homage. Do not commit non-virtuous action. Accumulate virtue and goodness. Subdue your own mind. This is the teaching of the Buddha. Like a star, a mirage, a lamp, illusions, drops of dew, bubbles, dreams, lightning, and clouds. Look at all conditioned phenomena as such. Due to this merit, having attained the state of the all-seeing, and thereby subduing the enemy of faults, may I liberate migrators from the ocean of existence stirred by the waves of aging, sickness, and death. I take refuge in the Guru. I take refuge in the Buddha. I take refuge in the Dharma. I take refuge in the Sangha. I take refuge in the Guru. I take refuge in the Buddha. I take refuge in the Dharma, I take refuge in the Sangha. I take refuge in the Guru, I take refuge in the Buddha. I take refuge in the Dharma, I take refuge in the Sangha. I take refuge until I'm enlightened in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. By the positive potential I create by listening to the Dharma, may I obtain Buddhahood in order to benefit all sentient beings. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free of suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the joyful happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from holding some close and others distant. Respectfully, I prostrate with my body, speech, and mind. I present clouds of every type of offering, actual and imagined. I confess all my negative actions accumulated since beginningless time and rejoice in the virtuous action of all ordinary and noble beings. Please, Buddha, remain as our guide and turn the wheel of Dharma until samsara ends. Through the merit created by myself and others, may the two bodhicittas ripen. May I obtain Buddhahood for the sake of all sentient beings. This offering I make of a precious jewel mandala, together with other pure offerings and wealth, and the virtues we have collected throughout the three times with our body, speech, and mind. O my masters, my yidams, and the three precious jewels, I offer all to you with unwavering faith. Accepting these out of your boundless compassion, please send forth waves of your blessing. Idam Guru Ratna Mandalakam Nirtiyami. The Heart of the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra. I prostrate to the Arya Triple Gem. Thus, I hear at one time, the Bhagavan was dwelling on the mass of Fulcher's Mountain on Rajahira, together with a great community of monks and a great community of bodhisattvas. At that time, the Bhagavan absorbed in the concentration on the categories of phenomenon called profound perception. Also at that time, the bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara looked upon the very practice of the profound perfection of wisdom and beheld those five aggregates also as empty of inherent nature. Then, through the power of the Buddha, the Venerable Shariputra said this to the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Mahasattva: how should any son of the lineage train who wishes to practice activity in the profound perfection of wisdom? He said that, and the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara said this to the Venerable Shariputra: Shariputra, any son of the lineage or daughter of the lineage who wishes to practice the activity of the profound perfection of wisdom should look upon it like this: correctly and repeatedly beholding those five aggregates also as empty of inherent nature. Form is empty. Emptiness is form. Emptiness is not other than form. Form is also not other than emptiness. In the same way, feeling, discrimination, compositional factors, and consciousness are empty. Shariputra, likewise, all phenomena are emptiness, without characteristic, unproduced, unceased, stainless, not without stain, not deficient, not fulfilled. Shariputra, therefore, in emptiness there is no form, no feeling, no discrimination, no compositional factors, no consciousness, no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no visual form, no sound, no odor, no taste, no object of touch, and no phenomenon. There is no eye element, and so on and up to and including no mind element and no mental consciousness element. There is no ignorance, no extinction of ignorance, and so on and up to and including no aging and death and no extinction of aging and death. Similarly, there is no suffering, origination, cessation, and path. There is no exalted wisdom, no attainment, and also no non-attainment. Shariputra, therefore, because there is no attainment, bodhisattvas rely on and dwell in the perfection of wisdom, the mind without obscuration and without fear. Having completely passed beyond error, they reach the end point of nirvana. All the Buddhas who dwell in the three times also manifestly completely awaken to unsurpassable, perfect, complete enlightenment in reliance on the perfection of wisdom. Therefore, the mantra of the perfection of wisdom, the mantra of great knowledge, the unsurpassed mantra, the mantra equal to the unequaled, the mantra that thoroughly pacifies all suffering, should be no truth, since it is not false. Mantra of perfection of wisdom is declared. Tayat gate gate paragate parasamgate bodhisoha. Say the mantra 21 times and then we'll continue. Gate gate. Paragate parasamgate bodhisoha. Well, I'm not in turn. Shariputra, the bodhisattva mahasattva should train in the profound perfection of wisdom like that. Then the Bhagavan arose from that concentration and commended the bodhisattva mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara, saying, well said, son of lineage. It is like that. It is like that. One should practice the profound perfection of wisdom, just as you've indicated. Even the Tathagatas rejoice. The Bhagavan, having thus spoken, the Venerable Shariputra, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara, those surrounding in their entirety, along with the world, gods, humans, asuras, and Gandharvas, were overjoyed and highly praised that spoken by the Bhagavan.
How's that? Ooh, ooh, okay. Topic for today is our breathing. I don't know, did people pick that up in the email? So of course I had the fires in mind. So when some people wearing the masks, I'm always curious, like when do we wear it and when do we take it off? Did some people like walking outside and like the masks? How many people had masks? Like maybe, yeah, that's pretty good. And did, like, and then did you have the kind where the there's a little kind of plastic breathing thing so the out-breath could go out easier or not? How many people had those? Like there's a kind called Vogue, V-O-G, right? Yeah. And then how many people wore them inside? Okay. Sleeping? Anybody slept with mask? So what happens when we're sleeping inside? Is it... There's still particulates in the air, aren't there? And yeah, right. But in any case, we always have to breathe, and breathing correctly is so important to our practice. I like to ask the question of people, it's like a bodhisattva question, really, what keeps you going? What keeps you practicing? For many people, what keeps us going, of course, is like survival. For some people, revenge. For some people, you know, like fame, right? Pleasure. In our practice, what keeps us going is the spirit of awakening, with English translation of bodhicitta. Sometimes bodhicitta translated bodhi meaning enlightenment, and citta meaning like mind. Actually, I like Alan Wallace's Spirit of Awakening the best, because awakening is kind of active, and spiritus is like breath in Latin. When you say enlightenment, it always seems like some... I know Jada Rinpoche used that term, of course, but which is fine, but enlightenment always sounds a little bit like... you know, you have some blowout drug experience. But maybe that's my past, okay? So, but the spirit of awakening, so what keeps us going? But on biological level, we need our heart beating, and we need our cardiovascular system. Do you agree? Yeah, so we need to breathe properly. So if we have a breath mask, do we attempt to breathe less or breathe more fully? You know, maybe we're wearing a fancy Vogue one, you know, or the right one, like W, what's 97? What's the thing? N, whatever. So, I mean, do you attempt to breathe shallow, or do you then try to breathe full breath? Which one do you do? Who thinks they breathe more with the thing on? And who thinks they're trying to breathe less? Okay. It looks like there's a little less this morning, but you can't see the particles, right? The bad ones? I don't know. Is it worse? What's 400? 400's bad, right? What is it today? So it's 200 something?
No, it's like
142. 142. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So if we have mass, should we breathe harder or breathe less? You know, should we still do a full breath, or should we try to lessen? Full breath, raise hands. Breathe less, raise hands. Okay. Pardon me? Yeah. Yeah, just idea. Okay. Okay, what's the right answer? I'll give you the right answer. The right answer is, in our tradition, we develop the blissful wisdom mind. Right? We develop wisdom. In Heart Sutra, we call it, prajna, paramita, the wisdom going beyond or gone beyond, gone to the other shore. Those who have taken refuge and received my lineage name, Yeshe, is the translation of jhana, meaning sometimes it's akin to knowledge, right? Sometimes translate primordial wisdom, right? If you compare refuge cards, sometimes I've translated primordial wisdom, and sometimes awareness. How about, did people, maybe, do you remember, like, who has awareness as the translation? Yeah. And who has primordial wisdom? And there's terms like Rigpa, which is like Sanskrit, the Sanskrit is vidya. Meaning also like knowing. So avidya means not knowing. So how do you know, like, how much to breathe? How do you know, like, should you breathe fully? Should you put on the mask? Should you take it off? Is it all, like, unnecessary? What, can you go running? Can you walk? How do we develop that? We need a wisdom mind. So how do we develop the wisdom mind? In our tradition, we develop it through connecting with the spirit of awakening, called bodhicitta. And people or beings that develop, arise, and start, initiate, and continue with bodhicitta are called bodhisattvas. How many people here took bodhisattva with you know, yeah. Yeah, so nice. spirit, you know. So you, the people that took Bodhisattva vows with, you know, Khensur, Jadarimshe, Kabche, you know, sometimes we give these incredible Mahasattva beings, sometimes called Lord of Refuge. So Kab means refuge, like, and Jay means like Lord, or kind of like that. So Lord of Refuge. So these, you shared the breath with those here. I saw Rinpoche at that point. Other people have seen times you shared Rinpoche's breath. Isn't that so? And we're sharing each other's breath today. So that is also what keeps us going, because the wisdom, the blissful wisdom, sees that we are sharing each other's breath. Isn't that so? So you know, we can also share masks too. You know, like if you had one mask, you could say, "Well, I've been breathing for this for an hour. Would you like to breathe with my mask?" So when we say sharing breath, we also mean sharing the protection. So taking refuge, developing bodhicitta, also means we have the spirit, the energy, the breath to awaken, and we also you know, protect it. So what keeps people going is bodhicitta, which entails both the blissful wisdom mind, the spirit, and the protection. Some people are interested in taking refuge at this point next year, and you want to develop the bodhicitta, the blissful wisdom that knows how to protect your spirit, your breathing. It's funny, I didn't have that much problem with the air. I was sharing with a student that maybe it's because both of us smoked in the past or something. And then I thought, well, maybe it's because I spent too much time in New Delhi or Los Angeles, like that. So sometimes when we've injured ourselves a little bit, we don't feel it as much, a little bit numb, right? But just like many people are sometimes sensitive to smell or food, then we're sensitive to the air. So we have to protect each other. It's interesting. If you don't need your mask, then share it with someone else. That's bodhisattva practice. So the important thing, without talking about the mechanics of breathing, which you want to do for in a very relative way, is the wisdom mind sees that we are all breathing together, and that's what keeps us going. With Rinpoche's second talk, you know, healing in Kala Chakra, he just said, well, we're just going to dispense with everything. We're just going to say two things. Anybody there that remembers said, what's the two most important things? Who is there that remembers what Rinpoche said? Two essentials. It was good for, like, you know, like secular, I would call secular dharma, secular humanistic Buddhism. Like, you don't have to use any religious terminology. You don't have to use any fancy things. You know, the two things he really wanted to emphasize. He said, okay, we're not going to do any kind of... He said, I'm not going to even talk about bodhicitta. He said, I'm just going to emphasize these two things. Correct. That's one. Yeah. One more to go. Do we need... to make the phone call now. I've already kind of talked about it, you know, so. Kind of, yeah. Like,
Staying in balance.
In balance is important, kind of. That's also kind of an expression of this, yeah. So, kind of there. It's kind of like, you ever watch that, listen to the program NPR, like, wait, wait, don't tell me. You know. Okay, so Lama Tsongkhapa has a very famous short poem. You know, in English, we call it In Praise of What? In Praise of What? That's one. Praise, that's true. That's one. The you know, the good qualities of the Lama. And in praise of relativity, interdependence, we're all breathing together. The Buddha's awakening was awakening to interdependence. So kind of three aspects of interdependence. This is more, but simple. One way of looking at Pratityasamutpada, the Sanskrit, is, of course, the Buddha described the process of samsara, you know, like this, the 12 links, right, it's called. So the 12 nidanas, that's interdependence too, like how things get to be screwed up. So that's, because things screw up too through interdependence, right? Things don't screw up through Satan or through, you know, or through political people who don't like or something, you know. It's screwed up through interdependence. So that's one way. Then other way we look at interdependence is talking like, you know, right and left on the street, right? You can't have right without a left. So left didn't cause right, and right didn't cause left, but they're dependent upon each other. So many times lamas like to talk about, and just like the Buddha did, like the sutta on the chariot, or a chair is a chair because it comes together because of its parts, right? This is depends upon that, right? Depends on left, you know, seat depends on, you know, like that, on the, you know, legs, right? Then third part that particularly in our school, Madhyamaka or Prasangika, the consequence middle way school, is all things are exist by designation only. True emptiness. This is the hair is standing up like this over here. So we say, you know, exist by designation only. You know, really like, just like Heart Sutra. No eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue. You know, designation only. It's only a chair because we call it a chair. It's only a chair because we sit on it. It's only a temple because we call it a temple. It's only a temple because we meet here. It has no inherent existence from its own side. It has no essence from its own side. It is selfless. So, you know, some of you have completed the foundations through Geshe Tashi and Jamyang. So you know the different kinds of ways of talking about no inherent existence, the difference between no inherent existence and selflessness. It's subtle, so I'm not going to go into it today. But in our school, we look into that, because many the lower vehicles, they understand selflessness, but don't understand no inherent existence or existing from its own side. So things don't exist from their own side. They don't have any inherent existence, essence by themselves. You know, they only arise in dependence on others, and they have no self that's ruling it. We all feel like we're inside our bodies ruling it, right? We all feel like, I'm in here, and I have thoughts. I have this, I have that, or I don't have it, you know? Isn't that so? So when Rinpoche is talking about interdependence, and Tsongkhapa's, you know, translation of relativity, then we're talking about the Buddha's awakening. So in our school, when we join compassion, the bodhicitta that expresses itself in compassion, expresses itself in compassionate acts, and that's combined with the insight into relativity, then we have the blissful wisdom mind. Because the correct view, the correct meditation, the correct action all come together. So those three need to line up, and then we're all breathing together, right? We want to get together. We need each other to breathe together. We breathe together, and we use our masks correctly. And also, we pray to an end to the drought, not just for raking and cleaning up the forest, you know. So like that. It's true, you know, you have to, there needs to be some forest management, you know, but, you know, I hear like clean up the forest, you know, this is how I think, you know, just kind of not getting into politics, but okay, so that's a mandate to do more clear cutting in the forest to sell to the lumber companies so that the stock goes up, you know. But also, no one's talking about, you know, like, well, building our house with too many trees around it, right? Because honestly, I've lived in the mountains or the foothills like Nevada City and up at 3,600 feet surrounded by pine trees, and that was great. But there was a Nevada City fire in like Nevada County in 1989, like that. Almost came to the house. They come up the ridge, right? So when we're looking at action, we as Dharma people apply the principles of compassion and interdependence, right? We just don't say, well, there's just one cause, right? We don't say, well, it's a combination of causes, right? Probably PG&E, drought, you know, too many houses, building developers, given permits to build and develop, you know, not enough fire hydrants. You know, all interdependent, right? Then we're independent too. We're breathing the same air. So we're interdependent. We're paying our taxes, right? Well, some of us, maybe. So we're interdependent. We voted for whoever. We're interdependent, right? So when we're looking at the fires, looking at breathing, then we're also looking at from the standpoint of the blissful wisdom mind that sees compassion activity and interdependent relativity come together. Things rise together, right? Comes together. It's difficult, right? Because we usually go to one, we like to go to the first cause. But in Dharma, Buddha Dharma, we don't have a first cause. Right? There's no like starting point. There's no first cause. I know people like to say Big Bang, but then there was something before the Big Bang, right? Space or something, right? Okay, so there was why was that little teeny thing of light there that banged, you know? So we're all involved in the fire. We're all breathing together. I did meet with Matt and Heather, and did some people see a picture of her burned house with the Buddha in it? We'll send that out. It's quite something. I said, did you guys take that? I said, is it okay if we put that on the internet or in the email? I said, well, thanks for asking, but we didn't take the picture. The CDF did, or when they went through. You know, so they haven't been up to the house.
What was the picture?
The burned out, totally burned out everything, and then there's this garden Buddha just like sitting that didn't burn. It really should go viral. really amazing, amazing like that. Yeah, so the Buddha is interdependent with the fire also. Hardest problem, I said, what was the worst thing? It said driving out. They lost one truck, but, you know, they had to jump in the car. But the lights were not changed. I learned a lot, you know, just trying, like, so everyone was trying to get on the road at the same time. But if we worked with the wisdom mind, we'd see how, what will happen if everyone gets on the road at the same time? That's interdependence, right? We're all breathing at the same time. What if everyone gets on the roads at the same time? Anybody read about what happened when everyone got on the roads at the same time? Freaked out. So Matt said there was, like, first of all, it's hard to get from the side streets, right? And then he got to an intersection, and one guy was standing on top of his truck, just losing it. And they had to kind of drive around. And then they had to, you know, at some point, Matt just said, "We're driving on the other side of the street." That's a wisdom mind, right? Because if we didn't have a wisdom mind, we would think, this side of the street, you must drive on. That is fixed. That is eternal. That exists from its own side. That, you know, but then he thought, this is only, you know, he didn't think this way, but technically would say, he realized it's just relative. There's nobody on the other side of the street, and everyone's logjam. We got to get out of here. So, like, drove down one-way streets and things. That would be a wisdom mind, right? There are probably some really nice people that said, well, the best thing is to stay in the car on the right-hand side of the road and wait, and then they may have burned up. We don't know. So here, Lion's Roar, we want to develop the blissful wisdom mind, the liberated wisdom mind. We generally want to kind of go along and obey the rules, but in our particular Vajrayana tradition, we're after the experience. It must be immediate realization, immediateness, not mediated by concept, because believing and behaving isn't enough. It isn't just behaving and believing certain things. That's not enough, right? Is it? Is that enough? If it's enough, then then don't get caught in a fire. You have to kind of go, well, what, you know, what do you grab in the last minute, right? So I asked Heather, like, well, the laptops and the photo albums. I don't know about their pets. I don't know. Yeah, so, and now they're moving. They're renting a house just on the corner of B and Alhambra. Interdependence. Very weird, interesting. So, so, you know, I wanted to share that because not only it is tragedy, but also because of some wisdom there. You know, they're alive and they got out. Because you can, well, let's drive around. Let's not, this guy's, you know, recognition that this guy's panic attack, right? On the, so they drove around and then recognize that, you know, like, hey, we're going to drive on the other side of the street or drive up or one way. That can be a wisdom mind because seeing the correct situation, the correct response, that's a wisdom mind. That's interdependence, and that's breathing properly. However, when we don't have a lot of smoke, we still need a wisdom mind. So that's what we're after. Breathing properly is important, having a full breath. Breathing with diaphragm is important. You know, diaphragm means we're using that instead of our rib cage, right? But we're after the wisdom mind. That's particularly in our tradition. So there are some people that are interested in volunteering, helping out for Wednesday night sitting, and we want to start Thursday. And maybe some people that are helping teach meditation at other places. So I agreed to give like a meditation class for those people at 1 o'clock-ish. But But anybody who wants to sit in can do that, you know. Then I'll go over our middle way style of doing shamatha vipassana practice. Once again, our meditation practice is based on realization of interdependence and bliss. So anyone can show up. Maybe I'm not co-opting someone, am I, Susan? Is anybody here? Yeah, so like that. Then, yeah, why not? Because you'll be eating in there. We could, yeah. If the technocrats here are willing to do that. My style of presentation, somewhat unique, of course, but still follows traditional lines. So when we're starting doing even the most simple shamatha meditations, we're still doing it from highest yoga standpoint, right? So it's like saying, here's the summit. You know, we want you to have a good look. We want to be introduced to what we call the view. Here's Mount Everest. There's the summit. If it's not clouded, you can see summit. Right now, we're still in the lodge. But you have to see the summit. We have to at least introduce the view. You know, we're not going to say, well, we're just going to teach you meditation and you don't know where you're going. So in our style of practice, we start out with here's the summit, and reality is you're still in the lodge. But we're going to get out of the lodge and we're going to start the hike, okay? That. Then the other thing in our tradition is most of meditation practice that isn't in the meditation manuals is through direct pith instruction from an authorized teacher, right? So that's why, as much as there's many good books, and as much as there are even possibly some good apps, then you know, we need to hear it directly from our teacher, right? From a qualified person like that. It's funny, in the West, many people, like, they're worried about being, of course, manipulated by gurus, which is important to worry about. You want a qualified teacher. So they say, well, I'm not going to take any personal instruction. I'm going to read and look at apps first, which is understandable. But since I'm also a licensed therapist, I always find it amusing. People will, you know, therapist is, and physician too, it's like much more powerful than Lama. People regularly just go tell everything, and they never read the informed consent, and they just, you know, and tell me what to do. And then therapists, like, which I don't want to tell people what to do because they rarely do it, but some people actually do. But, you know, then it's funny, in our model, you know, people tell their therapist or physician everything, and the physician can just write, like, oh my goodness, you need to be 5150 or something. So it's cultural, right? It's cultural. It's totally cultural, because in Asia, they trust their lamas much more. They don't trust therapists here. We think, oh, that person's got a license and a degree and so forth. But still, so we surrender to people that we believe in and have authority to, right? So that's understandable, but we should always check people out, you know. That's important, don't you think? There's some really bad therapists out there. Every real therapist, whether psychologist or social worker, you always turn, if you get a magazine or you get email, you always turn to the psychology board or the board of behavioral sciences and go, okay, who's had disciplinary action on them, right? What do you think the most disciplinary actions are for now among, like, psychologists, LCSWs? counselors, therapists. Any guess? Used to be.
Hashtag me too.
Pardon me?
Hashtag me too.
The most are for DUIs and shoplifting. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Then malpractice things. You know, like, of course, you know, or actually after that probably it's insurance fraud, and then kind of, you know, so sexual things are, you know, probably maybe 20%, something like that. So you want a therapist, you want a llama that, I'm being a little didactic today, but you want a llama that's the same, right? So in therapists, the same, you can't just say, well, I was driving and drinking, so that has nothing to do with what I do clinically, but it does. At least the state thinks so. And I do too. Like, you know, it's like that. So we're going to take a break, but when I've been a consumer of couples therapy, am I most interested in meeting with a couple therapist who's divorced or hasn't been divorced, just from my side, which, so how many people would think, oh, Lama would be most interested in meeting with a therapist who's never been divorced? How many, raise your hand. Okay, how many people think Lama would be interested with working with a therapist who has been divorced in the past? That's true. Second, yeah. the problem, it would be nice if you could find one, you know? So, but, you know, revealing, you know, like one's, you know, like limitations as teacher or therapist is important, some humility, something like that. So, you'll find like Jada Rinpoche very incredible, like I said, for the Bodhisattvas, you know, we did from Pata Rinpoche, text, which people should know. It's a little bit edgy from my side, because traditionally you'd always say, okay, we're at Dalai Lama school, so it'd always be Gelug side. But and our particular style, Dalai Lama style, Jada Rinpoche style, we're very eclectic, you know. So we you know, Dalai Lama's an incredible teacher, you know, like one of his main gurus, of course, is you know, Kensei Rinpoche and Duchen Rinpoche, so forth. But anyway, so he said, well, I think I almost have it. That's funny. He said, this is really good. I almost have it memorized. Do you notice that? Almost have it memorized. You know, like that. It's just like Kenshin Rinpoche saying, I'm just trying to pass down what I have. I'm not claiming anything, right? When Kenshin Rinpoche was here. Yeah, that's really important. So when interviewing therapists, when I was hiring people, et cetera, I always say, please tell me about a clinical situation gone bad. Right? Tell me about someone, when I was interviewing psychiatrists, I helped bring in psychiatrists for et cetera. I'd say, please tell me a situation where the patient didn't get better. Right? People know what I'm talking about? Okay. So then we see the wisdom mind, right? So there's a phrase in Tibetan, you only know how strong the tea is when it's in hot water. So it's very interesting for me as Lama therapist, like, how do people respond under a crisis, right? Do you lose your shit? Or do you think, okay, I have to get out of the fire. I have to sometimes, you know, drive on the wrong side of the street, like that. That's the wisdom mind, right? Okay. So let's take a 5-minute break, or six, 5 or 6, 7 minutes, enough to go to the bathroom, come back. You can talk, okay? All right, Om Aham. We're experimenting with lapel mic. Does it work? So we have 18 minutes. Can we meditate for 18 minutes? I think you can. Like, maybe if I'm ambitious, maybe we'll go 24, but we'll do at least 18. Okay, we should be at least 18 years old. Okay, 18. And then this mic works, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, I want people to have time for snacks that want to come at one, but we will record it. Then if you come at one, then you'll get my breath. Like that. That's why lamas like, they breathe over your mala. Like that, right? Like that. Okay.
Close with dedication on page 15. Due to the merit of these virtuous actions, may I quickly attain the state of Guru Buddha
and lead all living beings without exception into that enlightened state. May the supreme jewel Bodhicitta that has not arisen rise and grow.
May that which has arisen not diminish but increase more and more. In the land circled by snow mountains,
you are the source of all happiness and good. All-powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends.
May the teachings of the Buddha flourish. May the upholders of the teachings remain forever. May all migrators achieve happiness, and may they fulfill all their temporary and ultimate goals. Losan, magical display, deep awareness of all the victorious ones. Merciful giver of a stream of profound and vast instruction to the fortunate migrators. Please remain always unchanging, unfading. Avalokiteshvara, great treasure of objectless compassion. Manjushri, master of flawless wisdom. Vajrapani, destroyer of the entire host of Mara. Sankalpa, crown jewel of the snowy land sages. Losantrapa, I make requests at your holy feet.
Many of the teachings, of course, that you read about and we go into have to do with the nature of mind, the nature of view, we call it view. So we'll go over that at 1 o'clock for those who are here. Then when we divide things into view, meditation, and action. So view's like the light's on. You know how to use like, okay, this is the light, this is the flashlight, this is, and then the meditation's the situation, right? Familiarizing ourselves with meditation, gom. So it's gompa, where we are. Meditation's like attunement to the situation. And the situation from our Dharma standpoint is always going to be interdependence. It's always going to be interdependence. So that's easy. And then action. Okay, action is the activity, the unimpeded nature of things, creativity, the unlimited compassionate activity. But it also means skillful means, right? So, you know, if you understand nature mind and you understand interdependence, then you'll be thinking, well, you'll have correct thoughts, right? Like, what's the best thing to do in this crisis situation, right? But the whole thing is actually spontaneous, right? You can't totally like, okay, when there's a fire, I'm going to do this. A little bit, right? There is some planning. But you don't know when there's going to be a traffic jam, or you don't know what's going to happen. So all those three together, view, meditation, action, all together we call the blissful wisdom mind, the primordial pure awareness, like that. You know, like, but you can't separate it as separate thing, right? You can't say, well, I'm going to go for this, but I'm not going to do skillful means. I'm going to go for this, but I'm not going to see how everything is interconnected. You know, they all go together, don't they? It's easier when you see it all goes together. All right, so please get some snacks, right? Yeah.